Well, it's it's really amazing, Everlast, how much I don't know. I don't know a lot of things. I don't know how children from the very same gene pool can be so different. Our brother Wesley, our worship leader here at Calvary Worship Center, Wesley, right here he is. He's one of eight. He has seven siblings, eight total. It just blows my mind. Same gene pool, but all so different. Love it. He's very different. Okay. He's like, yeah. Amen. Kidding. No, bro, I don't know how flowers can be just so colorful. Yes. Amen. I don't know how. I don't know, honestly, how bees could ever fly. Blows my mind. As a matter of fact, I don't even completely understand how a commercial airline jet weighing 500,000 pounds, a commercial jet, 500,000 pounds, before people in luggage get on board. How can that thing can actually fly in the air? I don't know. Some other things I don't know. I don't know why I do all the things I do. I don't know why I don't like coffee. Everyone else seems to. I don't know why I don't like chick flicks more than action movies. Wait, hold on. I know exactly why I don't like chick flicks, because action movies are just better. But that's besides the point. It's besides the point. Yeah, I want to see someone get hit. There's so many things to art and science and politics that I don't know. I don't know why I wake up happy some days and bad tempered on the others. I don't know many things about the operation of my own body. I don't know many things about the function of my own brain. I don't know why weeds overtake those pretty flowers I just mentioned a moment ago. I don't, to be honest, I don't really understand what makes rain. Like, it still just blows my mind. It baffles me. Now, here's some things, Everlast, that I really don't know. Ready? Here's some things I really don't know. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. No idea. Not in the slightest clue. I don't know how long my life will be or yours. No idea. I don't know the hearts of others. I don't understand the plan. I often don't understand the plan and the purpose of God. I don't know why God brings certain things into my life or into yours. And y'all, that's just a brief, spontaneous list of things that I don't know. And if I were to take some time, I feel like I could fill many, 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 many pages, hundreds of lists of things that I don't know. And y'all, I feel like there would still even be a myriad of things not on the pages simply because I don't know that I don't know them. In light of this, can I say something, man? It's stunning. It is stunning to know that God knows absolutely everything. Yes, you heard me right. Everything. God knows everything about everything. His knowledge is unsearchable. His grasp on what is, y'all, has no beginning and has no end. I love to think about this. Our God is never confused. Never confused. He never has to live with misunderstanding. I just misunderstood something an hour ago. There is nothing that ever surprises him or leaves him perplexed. He never has trouble reconciling one truth with another. He never has to deal with gaps in his knowledge. He is never, Everlast, never in the position of wishing he could have, have the wisdom of another. Mm-mm. He never has to relearn something. He never has to admit that what he thought was wrong. No one ever showed him the path of understanding or taught him knowledge. Mm-mm. I love y'all. I just recently finished reading through the book of Isaiah, and man, my mind just like, you know, that what's that emoji with like the head exploded? That emoji loves action movies. It's a, you know. I love what Isaiah 40 says. Chapter 40, verses 13 through 14. Check it out. I think it's on the screen. Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? It goes on to say in verses 21 through 23, do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in? Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? I love this next verse, 1 Corinthians 1:25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. AKA, God is not weak. He's opposite of it. He's strong. He's not a fool. He's wise. Listen, what these scriptures are doing are putting both us in our rightful, humble place and putting God in his rightful, glorious place. This is so. Why? Y'all, we can run from any thought that we're smarter. It's so that we can run away from that. Tonight, y'all, it's my goal that we would consume his wisdom and be thankful for the grace that honestly rescues us from our own foolishness and connects us to God, who is himself the all-wise one and literally defines what is wise. Everlast, I think it's the silliest, it's true, it's the silliest thing. And honestly, I wouldn't even say silliest. That's just a petty word. It's the stupidest thing. It's the stupidest thing for us to think that we're actually wiser than God. Stupidest thing you could ever think. For you to think that you're actually wiser than God. So in order to understand that, fearing the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, we have to know and to submit to the fact that God is all wisdom. Going back to our first scripture we read tonight, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's on the screen. There it is. Now, all right, hang with me, all right? Because what I'm about to get real nerdy on you. Some of you nerds are like, yeah. You know, listen. About to get real nerdy on you. The verse we just read gives us some added insight with what is called, are you ready for it? It's not on the screen. It's called this, antithetical parallelism. Antithetical parallelism. I did some pretty deep studying in this, and I need y'all to listen to me. I told you, nerdy, right? Nerdy. Hang with me. Again, hang with me. Listen, a majority... like a literary device in Hebrew poetry is this. It's parallelism. Okay? It's called parallelism. Often, the parallelism is synonymous. Hang with me. Meaning, the same idea is restated in different words side by side. As example, I'm going to throw a scripture on the screen for you. Cool? Psalm 40:13, check it out. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Okay, so hang with me. Antithetical, meaning, this is what antithetical means. It means directly opposed, directly opposed. Antithetical parallelism ultimately provides contrast, okay? It provides contrast. So A Bible verse containing antithetical parallelism will bring together opposing ideas in marked contrast. Okay, so what that means is that instead of saying the same thing twice, it says one thing and then a different thing. Okay, let's look at another quick example. So antithetical parallelism in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. It's pretty apparent, right? I'll read from this one. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. What do we see everlast? Okay, in this right here, we see two hearts, two directions. The wise man's heart desires one thing, and the fool's heart desires something completely different. Their inclinations are antithetical. So again, going back to our first verse tonight, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We see here, Everlast, that there is a sharp contrast between the wise life and the foolish life. A wise person fears, has reverence for, and obeys the Lord. A fool despises God's instruction and cannot be told what to do. Y'all, the wise person is wise because he has started at the right starting place. The fool doesn't even have a foundation on which to build wisdom, let alone start. Romans 1, 21 through 22 says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." This is a description of people who try to obtain wisdom while ignoring God. This can't be done for the simple reason that God is the source of wisdom. I love how J.I. Packer says it. He says this, I think it's on the screen for you. "Not until we have become humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's holiness and sovereignty, acknowledging our own littleness, distrusting our own thoughts, and willing to have our minds turned upside down, only then can divine wisdom become ours." Did you know, Everlast, that there's two kinds of wisdom? What do you mean, Kev? I'm so glad you asked. Please turn with me to James chapter 3. It's not on the screen, but I need you to turn there, right? I say get your Bibles on the ready. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James chapter 3. Having some trouble here. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. I'm going to read all of it. When you're there, say, ooh, ooh. All right. "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth." Verse 15, "This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic." Verse 16, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." Verse 17, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." What do we see here? Well, we see James describing wisdom in two ways. In verse 15 of chapter 3, he says that there is a wisdom that does not come down from above, right? And then we see in verse 17, he says, "But the wisdom from above." So there is a wisdom that comes down from above, and there is a wisdom that does not come down from above. Why? Why? Because it's earthly. It's earthly. So here is James. Here's James. He's dealing with what we talked about just a moment ago. It's so cool. He's dealing with a contrast approach to wisdom. That's awesome. So there is wisdom that comes down from heaven, but he says there's wisdom that comes down from earth. And any wisdom that comes from earth, he says, comes from hell. It's demonic. So even though it's coming from earth, If it disagrees with the wisdom that comes from above, it came from hell, even though humans are giving it. Wow. So you see, earth is giving it, but he says the demonic has inspired it. So if what I'm reading in James is correct, newsflash, it is. It's the word of God. Then a lot of information we are hearing on TV and on media and social media, in our classroom, in our workplace, with our friends, and even with our family, it's just hell talking through people that sounds good. Why? Because it's birthed from above. I'm sorry, because it's not birthed from above. It's not birthed from above. Okay, so don't hear what I'm not saying, though. God uses people to speak his wisdom through all the time. But if what they are saying does not line up with his word, you can know it's not coming from above. He says the wisdom from above brings order, clarity, and peace. The wisdom from earth brings conflict, confusion, and disorder. It's coming from the wrong source, you see. The wisdom from above, according to Romans 16:27, comes from the only wise God. Again, there's only one source of wisdom. Y'all, Job chapter 28. You can turn there if you want, but I think there's going to be on the screen for you. Job 28 is one of the most comprehensive statements on wisdom outside of Proverbs, I would say. I'm going to give you just a couple of these verses right now. Cool. Job 28, verses 12 through 13. Job 28, verses 12 through 13. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of living. Moving down to verses 20 and 21. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. So, okay, where do we find it then? Moving down to 23 and 24. God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. Then going on to verse 28. And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. Everlast, what he's saying here is your source for wisdom has to be rooted in God, because he's the only one who knows where it's located. The reason he knows where it's located is because, y'all, God is infinite. And what are we? Finite. We talked about a bunch of different ways that God has wisdom at the beginning of tonight, right? But to put it another way, I put this on the screen for you. God is without limitation. I love thinking about it that way, knowing about it that way. God is without limitation. We, on the other hand, y'all, we have plenty of limitation. That's why we go, oops. That's why we go, my bad. That's why we go, I thought. And that's why we go, I felt, because we have a very limited scope, y'all. That's why you need an app. You thought I just said nap. I said app. But both. You need a nap and an app. Y'all, we literally need Google Maps. Check this out. For wisdom to negotiate for us to be able to see further than we can see down the road. Interesting. Like we just read, it said that God understands. Everlast, y'all need to know this in your bones. God's name is I am. I am. God says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, he says that he is the I am. Y'all, this is the ultimate statement of self-sufficiency, self-existence, and immediate presence. God's existence is not contingent upon anyone else. Anyone else. His plans are not contingent upon any circumstances. He promises, y'all, he promises that he will be what he will be. That is, he will be the eternally constant God. Y'all, God stands ever present and unchangeable, completely sufficient in himself to do what he wills to do and to accomplish what he wills to accomplish. Y'all, he cannot be flawed. God can't be flawed. He can't make a mistake. He cannot advise incorrectly. He is wisdom. And we must not abandon wisdom. We must not abandon wisdom. When you abandon wisdom, you're left with education. When you abandon wisdom, all you're left with is information. When you abandon wisdom, you're left with chaos. What you're seeing in our culture today, y'all, are fools on display. Fools on display. Ephesians 5:15 through 16 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I love what Dr. Tony Evans says when it comes to our culture today. He said this, we've got racial fools, political fools, social fools, gender fools, etc. Why? Because they have abandoned wisdom from above. They have accepted the wisdom of earth, which means hell has informed the information. The problem is we've got Christians who've adopted the earth. Everlast, we allow ourselves to get too caught up in the confusion of the culture when we have the complete, inerrant, stood the test of time, full counsel and truth of God's word. We tend to think that, it's just interesting, man. We tend to think like because we go to church on weekends and come here to Everlast on Tuesdays and be in a life group and believe in the Bible, that in and of itself makes us wise. No. God, through his word, gives you the wise information, but that doesn't graduate you to wisdom. Listen, wait for it. Until understanding has got married to it. Wisdom has to be married to understanding. I've got 6 verses on the screen for you. Y'all read along closely. Read closely with me on this, cool? Stare a hole through that, these bad boys. Read with me. Just to yourself, I'm going to read it out loud. Closely, my son or daughter, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come understanding, come knowledge and understanding. So here's what I feel like we're inclined to do when it comes to wisdom is that we take some biblical information, which, by the way, that's good. That's where you start. But then we don't marry it to understanding, and then we're left wondering why things still don't work. And you know what this completely reminds me of? The Great State Fair of Texas. I'm like, what? Well, you know, corn dogs, turkey legs, funnel cakes, fried everything, fried Oreos. Yes, did I hear that? Fried Oreos. Change your life. So good. But something, honestly, I can tell y'all that I've never gone for. I've never gone for it. It's just not my thing. Candied apples. It's not my thing. Some people love them some candy apples, though. Any candy apple fanatics in the room? Oh, that was very small, very small. Now, we all know that an apple is nutritional, right? An apple a day keeps the doctor away. What's always made me laugh, because I'm like, I feel like it first keeps the dentist away. Like it gets stuck in my teeth and like it cleans it. Anyways, I always thought that. But the doctor too, keeps the doctor away. There's nutritional value in an apple, right? Plus, if you think about it, an apple is already sweet. It's already sweet. It doesn't need to be dipped in processed sugar. But these apples at the state fair have been dipped in liquid sugar. You see, once you've dipped these apples in sugar, you have neutralized its nutritional benefit for a certain flavor. What people often do, myself most definitely included, Everlast, is that we go to church, We go to Everlast, read our Bibles, pray, do all things, right? But then we dip it into something else, like human opinions. Why? Because we want the flavor of what people think rather than what God says. What else? We want the flavor of our own feelings. We want the flavor of our own feelings. We want the flavor of something new. We want the flavor of something political. We want the added flavor of something else when the truth of Jesus is already sweet. And we wonder why it isn't working. We wonder why we aren't getting the nutritional benefit of the revelation of God's word when we're off dipping it in other stuff. Come on, y'all. Man, like we freaking have to wake up, man. We have to wake up. Dipping biblical truth into worldly truth does nothing but lessen its intended nutritional value. Sin, Satan, and self has jaded us and so influenced us to dip wisdom from something, mind you, that's already sweet, into the toxic, unhealthy, added sugar of earthly wisdom. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Is God's word sweet to you? Is his wisdom sweet to you? Listen, y'all, Jesus is enough. He's enough. He is the word. He is sufficient for you. You don't have to go dipping. You don't. Let me also talk about something I feel is really important for you to know tonight. Wisdom is synonymous with, but different from knowledge. Wisdom is synonymous with, but different from knowledge. I love, found this amazing quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said this, listen, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. There is something that can and will absolutely disrupt your use of knowledge, though. Something will disrupt it. Man, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me like crazy as I was reading this. In Matthew 7, Jesus specifically addresses something. Rather, he addresses someone. He is addressing the self-righteous one. He does this by talking about only seeing the speck in your brother's eye, but not even noticing the log in your own. Y'all, self-righteousness is incredibly sneaky and is incredibly tricky. Self-righteousness, y'all, it stunts your knowledge. And what do I mean? Listen, if knowledge is supposed to lead to wisdom, self-righteousness is the roadblock. You see, you can know all day long, you can know all day long that you're not supposed to judge, but you still judge. You can know all day long that you're supposed to see the log in your own eye, but you still seem to focus on that little speck in someone else's. But seeing sin in others, let me just say this, it isn't a bad thing. It's important, and it is how we press, you know, each other on into Christ. But know this, God gives you the knowledge to help you see the sin in others, but wisdom helps it not bug you more than your own sin. God gives you the knowledge to help you see the sin in others, but wisdom helps it not bug you more than your own sin. This isn't on the screen, but I'm going to say this. Wisdom, therefore, helps you see yourself with accuracy. That's not yourself. This is yourself. Wisdom helps you see yourself with accuracy and others with clarity. Wisdom helps you see yourself with accuracy and others with clarity. Now, you may be sitting here like tonight. You're like, man, Kev, I thought we were going to talk about wisdom, like, so I can know how to make decisions and stuff and practical things. Well, okay, to that, I say it's not complicated. You just need to ask. Just ask for wisdom. Y'all, we were in James chapter 3 tonight, but earlier in James chapter 1, he writes this, James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Ask. And y'all, it's not lost on me, clearly not lost on the Lord, that there's a lot of decisions in the room. A lot of decisions, like right now, are represented in the room. Decisions that need to be made. A lot of decisions. You know, decisions to continue on at your job or to stay. decisions to move here or to move there, decisions to break up with someone or to not, decisions to spend your money this way or that way, etc. Y'all, without the fear of God, we make decisions based on our own faulty human understanding. When we incorporate the fear of God into every moment of our lives, we make decisions based upon His word and His approval. We live in the knowledge that the Creator of the universe is intimately involved in our every move. Y'all, He sees and knows and cares about what we do. But again, He doesn't want us to dip anything, let alone our decision-making, into worldly wisdom, but rather wisdom from above. And let me say this when it comes down to making decisions. If you're filtering it through the taintedness of sin, if you're filtering your decisions through the taintedness of sin, well, then you're probably going to make a really, really bad decision. Let me give you three quick things about decision-making, cool? Three quick practical things. One, it's not on the screen. You can write it down. One, go to the Word of God. Ask God for scriptures. Ask Him. Y'all, He'll give it. He'll give it. Don't filter it through your own understanding, though. Y'all, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it can't, and it's unfortunately become such a dadgum coffee cup verse in our lives. We're just like, yeah, I got it. I know it. It can't be that. If it has, listen, you need to get with the program, man. Like, it can't be. It can't be that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, every single one of them, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Here's two. Let the Spirit of God lead you and not your feelings. Not your feelings. Listen, you can't trust your feelings. You cannot trust your feelings. They're not reliable, but the Holy Spirit is. And three, can I say this when it comes to decision making? Invite people in. Invite people in. Yes, actually invite them in. When I say people, y'all, you need to go to people who specifically fear God, who love God and will point you to what brings God the most glory and not what will make you most happy. Speaking of inviting people in, check it out. You can be one of two people, the fool or the wise. One of two people you can be. Listen, man, the fool or the wise. Fools, check this out. Here's what fools do. They hide their sin. Fools hide their sin. Fools usually don't confess sin until they get caught. Fools like try to justify their sin or even minimize their sin. Y'all, and sin, this is what sin does. It tells you that right is wrong and wrong is right. That what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. Fools don't listen. Fools think that they know it all already. Fools get defensive. Fools get defensive. And might I add, easily defensive. That's what a fool does. Fools actually reject counsel. They reject it. And can I just say this, man? I feel like some of you guys tonight, even, you're rejecting counsel from the Lord without even knowing you're rejecting counsel, all in the name of what you feel and what you want to do. And man, I just implore you. I implore you. I implore you guys to take this more seriously than you are. Some of you right now are currently living in sin, and you're so foolish to justify it and to call it good because you're so convinced that it's right, and you are being lied to from the pit of hell. The wise are basically the opposite of the things I just shared. The wise let the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the overall grace of Jesus to lead them to the brokenheartedness over their sin, and they therefore don't hide it. They confess it without getting caught. The wise, check this out, they listen. The wise listen. They have an overarching, the wise has an, they have an overarching humility, and they know that they don't know it all. They actually know that they don't know it all. The wise, y'all, they're willing to be taught. They're willing to be coached. The wise, check this out, the wise don't get defensive, especially easily defensive. The wise actually receive counsel. They actually receive it. Let me ask you a question. Which one are you? Like right now, which one best describes you, the fool or the wise? Are you actually receiving counsel? Y'all, if so, hallelujah. Y'all, that's awesome. That's a sign of God's transformative work, the transformative grace at work in you. That's a great thing. If you find yourself more on the fool side, let me tell you something. God is still crazy about you. He loves you. He loves you so much. There's so much grace. But I need you to know this. You need to repent. You need to repent. Cry out to the God of all grace. Cry out to him. Ask him to open your eyes and to rescue you from you. That's huge. Do it. Jesus said this, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a, what? Wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. When it comes to receiving, y'all, we receive counsel from God in three ways. It's not on the screen. You can jot it down. We receive counsel from God through his word, through his spirit, and his people. His word, his spirit, and his people. Everlast, it's important that you don't just hear. That does jack crap. It's important that you receive. If you're just hearing, you're fooling. If you're hearing and receiving, you're wise. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despised his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. End of the day, if you lack wisdom in any way or need wisdom in any way, check it out. Fear God. Fear the Lord. Which again means having, y'all, fearing God. Y'all need to know this. Like by the end of the series, we're hoping not just, oh, it's a series, cool. Like that you would know this in your bones. Listen, fearing God means having a continual awareness of God, a deep reverence for God, and sincere commitment to God. Then and only then will you begin to gain wisdom. I'll leave you with this verse. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Amen. Let's pray.